As you can see in your bulletins, the title of the message this morning is The Apostle Paul's Life of Victory. Now, if we look at the Apostle Paul early in his life, we would not have predicted that he would live a victorious Christian life, obviously. Before his conversion, he was attempting to do everything he could possibly do against Christ and Christ's followers. In fact, at the stoning of Stephen, although he didn't throw stones, he was holding the coats of the people that were throwing the stones, killing Stephen by stoning. But God saw in Paul a level of dedication, a level of power, a level of strength that he could use in spreading the gospel, especially to the Gentile world. And although Paul wasn't called just to spread the gospel of salvation to the Gentiles, he also was called to give this message to the Jews, but especially to the Gentiles. But God saw in Paul something that perhaps nobody else, I think it's safe to say nobody else, no human being at least, saw in Paul. Here he was persecuting Christians, making as much trouble for Christians as he could possibly make. And if you or I were to look at someone in life doing this, we'd say there's no possible way that this person can find conversion, can find salvation, can find a place in the ambassadorship, in the building of the kingdom of God on this earth. But you see, we look on the outward appearance, but it is God who looks on the heart. And God looked at Paul's heart and he saw that Paul had a heart that was sincere. Whatever he did, he went after completely, fully, absolute dedication. Persecuting Christians, let's get rid of them. And God saw within this man, he had not yet become an apostle. An apostle is someone who's called by Christ. He had not yet been called by Christ. But God saw within the Apostle Paul the level of dedication, the level of tenacity, the level of determination that he needs in his Christian leadership. And so you know the story, how he was on the way to Damascus and how this light shone about him and Christ spoke to him and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul said, "Well, who is this?" And the answer back was, "It's Jesus whom you're persecuting." He was blinded for 3 days. His friends had to lead him around, couldn't see to get around. But this was the way the Apostle Paul was converted. You see, sometimes conversion takes place through the simple, quiet pleading of the Spirit. Some people will respond to the quiet, pleading Holy Spirit. But then there are others who need force. There are others who need to be, metaphorically speaking, whacked over the head with the two before. And Paul, of course, was of the latter type. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit had been working, had been pleading, had been prompting him to come to Christ earlier. But this wasn't adequate in his case. So God knew his heart, God knew his level of dedication, and he said, I'm going to do something, Paul, that don't like to do. Those of us who are parents know sometimes we're rearing those children. We'd say, don't do this, or don't do that, or don't play in the street, don't play in the road. But they didn't pay any attention. And we'd have to get the paddle out. Well, God had to get the paddle out for Saul. In fact, as I say, it was more than a paddle. It was a two before. But it was what Paul needed in order to find conversion, in order to find salvation, and in order to do the work that God had outlined for him to do. God had a plan for his life. And brother and sister, I want to assure you that God has a plan for the rest of your life. I don't know what it is, but he knows what it is. And I plead with you to let the Holy Spirit guide and direct in your life so that God doesn't have to use a two before on you or on me. So Paul was converted. After his conversion, he considered himself an ambassador. And what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents a sovereign entity, a sovereign king in olden days. Today, an ambassador would represent the official president of the United States, for example. He would be the official spokesperson for that particular government. And so an ambassador is someone who represents a sovereign, someone who represents a government, an official representative. Now notice this about ambassadorships. Ambassadorships are 24-hour-a-day responsibilities. If you're an ambassador to whatever, let's say Kenya, you're an ambassador to Kenya. You're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? One of your responsibilities is to take care of American citizens that happen to be in Kenya and need your help. That's one of your responsibilities. In addition to that, of course, you're to transfer information, official information, from your government to the head of government in Kenya. So those are two of your primary responsibilities. Now, the Apostle Paul considered himself to be an ambassador of a sovereign. And this sovereign was not a king. He was not a president. He was not a prime minister. He was the creator of the universe. And so Paul, realizing the responsibility that he had, took his ambassadorship very seriously. And as we who have been called, not in the same way as was Paul, but we who have been called by God to be his ambassadors to this community, can learn some lessons from the Apostle Paul and his ambassadorship. He was on duty 24 hours a day. And so as Christ's ambassadors, we're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're representing him as he sees needs for us to represent him in various situations and in various ways. Also, Paul saw himself as being greatly in need of the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul saw this great need, so you and I need to understand that as ambassadors for our eternal Savior, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. As I said, one of the responsibilities of the ambassador is to transmit information from the sovereign to the receiver of the message. And you and I have been chosen as ambassadors to the Farmville area to send the message that we've received through God's Word to people in this community. The ambassadorship that we have is much like that of Paul. We're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We represent the kingdom of heaven in this community. Well, Paul speaks of his ambassadorship twice, And the first time he refers to himself as an ambassador for God is in Ephesians chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. And this is how he puts it. That utterance may be given me in opening my mouth bodily to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. In other words, Paul is saying, I need the strength of the Holy Spirit to not contaminate the message that God has given me. I need to give the message straight. I need to give it plain. I need to give it simple. I need to give it in a correct fashion. So he sees himself as an ambassador because he needs to give the message in the way that we just described, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now you and I are not sitting in chains this morning as Paul was when he was in prison. But Paul still in prison saw himself as an ambassador. He saw that he needed to rightly represent the sovereign of the universe. And so even though he's in chains, even though he is in prison, he knows that he has contacts and he has influence. And anyone with whom you have contact, you have influence. It's either influence for the positive or it's influence for the negative. An ambassador in chains, I may declare it boldly. Declare what boldly? Declare the message that has been given me by my sovereign, as I ought to speak. And oh, we all need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us not only understanding, but the ability to communicate that understanding in a clear, simple, kind fashion. That was Ephesians chapter 6. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, he again calls himself an ambassador. He says, give us the ministry of reconciliation. Now the ministry of reconciliation is calming the waters, is putting salve on the irritated. When you skin your finger or skin your elbow, you look for medication. You look for something that's going to calm the burn. When there are social issues, when there are contentions between people, we are to be that soothing salve that will bring about harmony. Give us the ministry of reconciliation. What a wonderful ministry that is, if we have the gift of reconciliation. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. And notice here, he doesn't call just himself an ambassador, but he's also here, as he writes to the church in Corinth, he says, we are all ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. How does God speak to your neighbors? And how does he speak to those that you come in contact with? He speaks to them through you. That is what an ambassador does. He is the representative to somebody from the sovereign. And you are that representative from the sovereign to that neighbor or to that family member or whoever. God working his appeal through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So whenever we give a message as ambassadors, whenever we give a message from the sovereign, we need to do this through the grace of Christ. We need to do this through the power of his Holy Spirit, which he left. And we ourselves need to be reconciled to God. Now, what does this mean? To be reconciled to God means that there is no blockage between us and God. If there's an interference, if there's a blockage between us and God, if there's some secret sin or some open sin that we're continuing with in our lives, there's going to be a blockage and there's going to be static on that in the message. There's going to be a blockage. The sovereign can't get through to us with a clear message. So Paul says that we need to be reconciled. There should be no blockage between us and the sovereign, so that that message can flow through clearly. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can in turn transmit that message to those that God points out that we should do this for. So Paul calls himself an ambassador because he knew when he proclaimed the gospel, facts and the promises, and urged sinners to receive the reconciliation which was put in effect at Calvary, that he was declaring Christ's message to the world. You see, this was his central focus. When I teach writing, the first thing I teach is that when you're writing whatever it is, you have to have a central focus. And one of the most difficult things I found my writing students to do was to be able to stay on focus. They'd want to go over here. They'd want to go over there. That something interesting would come up and they'd want to go all over the place. But I tell them, no, you have a focus. We call it a thesis. You have a thesis. You have a theme for your message. You stay on that theme. There's going to be a time when you want to tell this interesting story. You want to tell that interesting story. No. You stay on message. And Paul wanted to stay on message. And his message was the gospel of salvation. He was representing his Lord as long as he remained faithful. He knew he was representing his Lord, and he wanted to do it in a faithful way. There are various ways that the Lord opens for us to be his ambassadors. I'll share just one of my experiences a number of years ago. I was teaching at a college up in Western Maryland in the summers. I didn't teach. So I wanted to do something constructive, and I was selling children's Bible story books. The Bible story book would come in sets. I think there were 7 to a set. And it would start with Genesis, and in simple children's language would try to tell the various experiences in the different books of the Bible so that children could begin to comprehend something about the Bible and God's Word. Well, I was selling these Bible story books up in Western Maryland, and actually went over into West Virginia some parts as well. And I came to this house, knocked on the door, and I told the gentleman that what I was doing, selling Bible story books for children, and I asked him if he'd like to see a sample. And he said, well, yes, I would. So he invited me in. We sat down. I had a spread that the publisher had made, and I put the spread out on the floor, and I said, well, here's kind of a summary of some of the highlights of the set of books, and gave him a couple of books to leaf through and look at. They were, of course, highly pictured. The children always enjoy pictures. We all enjoy pictures, but they had a lot of colorful pictures, and this man was older. I don't remember. At that time, he probably was in his 70s. And he said, well, you know, I really like these. And he wanted to know what they cost. So at that time, I think they were about $250 a set, maybe something like that, a set of about 12 books. And he said, well, you know, I'd like to buy a set, but I can't. If I buy one set, I have to buy 3 because I have 3 sets of grandchildren. And I can't give one set of grandchildren a book, a set of books, or a second and ignore the second and third. So I'd have to buy 3 sets of books. Now this was back in the back in the late 60s. And $250 in the late 60s is a lot of money. So he said, I'd like these, but I'd have to buy three sets. And I said, well, Mr. whatever his name was, I've forgotten his name. You know, I just happen to have three sets on the car. I got three sets out in the car if you'd like to buy a set for each of your sets of grandchildren. And he studied and he thought a while and he said, go get them. I'm going to buy them. And at that time, it was a cash sale. At that time, it was in the West Virginia Conference. At that time, it was the highest cash sale that anybody had made in the West Virginia Conference selling religious books. Now, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did it. But you see, the Holy Spirit can give us guidance, can give us direction, and give us the words that we need to witness, to be ambassadors in whatever situation we happen to find ourselves. Well, let's look at a very quick summary of the ambassadorship that the Apostle Paul was engaged in. We just very briefly described Paul's conversion. Also, when he's on the road to Damascus, also later, or earlier in his, after his conversion, he heals a cripple at Lystra. At another place, he casts out a spirit of divination, or a satanic spirit was in a man. Paul demands a satanic spirit come out. Then Paul and Silas are put in prison, and the prison doors are opened by an earthquake. Then Paul heals a multitude of people in Corinth. Then he restores Eutychus to life. God gave him the power to restore life to the dead. Later after this, he shakes off a snake that grabs him in the arm and the hand. He shakes him off. Snake does no harm. That is, poison to snake doesn't harm him. And then later on in his life, he heals the father of Publius and others. And so Paul had a varied and challenging life. But he had been called because God knew that he was the one who could take this kind of life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul urges Timothy, and Timothy was his protege. Timothy was under the training of Paul. Paul realized that at some point he would have to give up his ministry, his ambassadorship. And so he was training Timothy to take over. And he gives a charge to Timothy, and he tells him as his death is approaching that he hopes that Timothy can come to him. Paul is sitting in prison, in a Roman prison. And he says to Timothy, I hope that you can come and visit me. And this is how chapter 4 of 2 Timothy begins. I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead by his coming and his kingdom, preach the word. Well, you know, brother and sister, when we are ambassadors, we preach the word. The sovereign gives us a message, and we're expected to preach the word. Now, it may not be popular, but popularity isn't the standard that the ambassador uses when he gives the message. It's the veracity and the truth to the message that's given him. So he says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. That is, be ready to preach it at any time. Don't change it, don't vary it, don't soften it. Reprove, We don't like to be reproved, but Paul says to Timothy, sometimes you're going to have to reprove. Entreat, you're going to have to try to persuade. Rebuke in all patience and doctrine. When you have to rebuke, oh how hard that is to rebuke. But rebuke in patience. And rebuke in doctrine. That is, rebuke relying on the message that the sovereign has given you. Verse 3. And there shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's going to be a time, Timothy, when people don't want to know the truth. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Don't teach me, don't give me the message that the sovereign has given you. I don't want to hear. They won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. They're going to make up their own moral code. But according to their desires, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, teachers telling them what they want to hear. And will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned into fables. So what are these people going to be doing? They're going to go to fables. They're going to go to traditions created by mankind. And they're not going to listen to the message that the sovereign has sent through you. But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry, and be sober. Be dedicated, be sober, be vigilant. Then as an evangelist, he's also an ambassador. An evangelist is one who spreads the word. Verse 6. For I even now am ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my dissolution or departure is at hand. My death is at hand. Verse 7. This is the scripture reading that we had this morning. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me in that day, and not to me only, but to them also that love his coming. Paul says, I'm going to be judged before too long. The great judge is going to be judging me, Lord, for the Lord, the just judge, is going to render me just or unjust. But not only to me, but to all of those, that's including you and me, but to all of those who love his appearing. And oh, we love his appearing. We're looking forward to his appearing, the second coming of Jesus. Celia and I often talk about what a wonderful day it's going to be. That second coming. For Demas has left me, loving the world, gone to Thessalonica. Demas was with him for a while, then got carried away by worldly affairs and left Paul. Crescens into Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke has been faithful. Stayed by as a friend. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me in the ministry. But Tychius I have sent to Ephesus, and the cloak or coat that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith has done me such evil. The Lord will reward him according to his works. Sometimes we like to get ahead of the Lord. So and so did me an evil. I'll get him. Paul says, this man, Alexander the coppersmith, did me wrong. But he's going to be rewarded for his works. God will see to that. Whom do thou also avoid, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Then coming down to verse 21. Make haste to me before winter, Eusebius and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren salute thee. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. It's getting cold, and he asks for Timothy to bring his coat. Getting cold there in prison. But even while in prison, Paul says, I am God's ambassador. I am the sovereign's ambassador. This is the level of dedication. This is the vision that each of us here this morning needs. To realize that we are ambassadors for the sovereign. We have been chosen. We have been given special insight, special understanding, special knowledge, special talents, and special abilities. And my prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit will guide us as we serve as ambassadors for our Master here in the Farmville area and around the world. Amen.